Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, if He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. The Word of God says, for the Son of God has come to seek and to save. That was His loss, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now look, that was me one time. It may be you today, and God wants to do something for you through what His Son did at Calvary. He'll save you. He'll make you a new creature in Christ. He'll translate you from the kingdom of darkness, put you in the kingdom of light. Hey, listen, He'll make a new creature out of you, make you a fit subject for the kingdom of God. He'll not forget your sins, but He will just choose, in light of what Christ did, to remember them no more. How wonderful. How wonderful that is. And well, I'm glad that you chose today. Debbie and I are so glad that you chose to stop by to listen in. And I trust that our time together will be a blessing, will bring glory to God, will be edifying to you, will be helpful and be honoring to the Word of God. Hey, I've opened my Bible, the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, right after the book of Philemon, right before the book of James, chapter 4. A very familiar passage of Scripture. We'll look at verse 12, and we're going to look at something that's very close to my heart. But before we do that, Deb's got a song she's going to do. The title of it is, I Found the Answer. Listen, you can find it too. You can find it in Jesus. You can find it at an altar of prayer. You can find it from anywhere that you choose. Trust Christ. Listen now.
I was searching for the meaning of life. All I had was struggles and strife. Days were long, in my heart no song. Then I knelt at an altar of prayer. There I found the answer.
Like that. Thank God. Listen, friend, I'm glad there is an answer, and it's not something, but it's someone, and His name. His name is Jesus Christ. And look, let me ask you, and I'm setting the message up, what do you think we can find the answer? What do you think we can find the answer about our life, our purpose of life, the meaning of life, why we're here, those existential questions that many men, many women deal with, friend? What do you think we'll find the answer? You know where we find the answer to it? We'll find the answer in the Word of God. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the Word of God. He said here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, and look now, and I'll explain it briefly what's going on here. I'll not spend much time on that because I'm going to lift this verse of Scripture out and focus on a phrase that just caught my eye. I've read this time and time again. I've quoted it time and time again. What a great verse of Scripture this is. It tells us much about the power and the purpose of the Word of God. But listen to what the writer, whom I believe to be Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, said about the Word of God. He said in verse 12, "For the Word of God is..." Now look, when I was reading, I just had to stop right there. The Holy Spirit just said, stop right there. But I'm going to keep reading on. We're going to look at this verse as a whole. He said, "For the Word of God is..." I begin to think, what is the Word of God? And we're going to look at that. And we're going to look at it. When we do, we're going to find that it's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I want to talk to you today just what I told you I was going to talk to you about for a little while. I want to talk about what the Word of God is. The Word of God is. Isn't that amazing? Hey, can I tell you, it's kind of like Hebrews 11 and 6. The Bible says, they that come to God must believe that He is. Hey, can I tell you, that means so much about God. It means that He is, He was, He always shall be. What He was, He is. What He is, He was. And what He is and was, He always shall be. He's immutable. He's eternal. He's unchanging. Oh, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And can I not say that about the Word of God? Oh, I'm glad the Word of God is. Hey, can I tell you something, friend? I'm about to get real happy. In fact, I am real happy. This book that I hold in my hand, this 1611 King James Bible, it's not a has-been book. It's not, quote, the old King James, like it's worn out. Hey, I want you to know it's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean to tell you, friend, it goes to the very quick of things, the very bottom of things, the very center of things. Oh, it's alive. And I'll tell you, friend, to some degree, how it is and what that means. I'm glad the Word of God is. I'm glad it's immutable. I'm glad it's eternal. I'm glad it's unchanging. I'm glad that it's withstood every criticism, every blow, bless God, of man against it. Hey, they've tried to burn it. They've tried to destroy it. They've tried to put it out of circulation. They've even tried to bury it. But can I tell you what? A man like Voltaire that said, in 100 years, the Bible will be no more. Hey, Voltaire is dead, but the Bible lives on forever and ever and ever. Just like the Word of God says, forever, O Lord, is Thy Word settled in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. That's what the Word of God says about itself in Psalm 119 and 8, I believe it is. If it's not verse 8, I know it's in Psalm 119. Now listen, as we step into this passage of Scripture, Paul in the beginning of chapter 4 is talking about how that men and women, unlike the children of Israel, walking through the wilderness, and the men and women in the days of David that could have had a sabbatical rest, that could have ceased from their labors, that could have had a spiritual rest like God did, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh, He rested, not that He was tired, but that He was done. Hey, you and I today, we need to be in that spiritual rest. I think I've arrived at it because I remember the days in my life, my early Christian life, when I wasn't resting in Christ, when I wasn't resting in the work that He had completed and accomplished for me at Calvary. But oh, what a sweet thing that it is to step out of our labors and to step in to that rest of salvation that comes with knowing Christ. And you know what Paul tells us here in chapter 4, verse 12? Paul says, now listen. He said, I want you to know something. We need to labor, isn't that funny? To enter into that rest, lest any means man falls short of it, after the same example of unbelief of those in the days of David, of those that were in the days of Moses in the wilderness. He said, now listen, because God's able to discern whether you are or not. I mean, the Word of God itself is so designed, friend, that it's able to cut right through any and every profession of faith. I mean, to tell you what it'll do, it'll strip away that which is real or unreal from that which is real, from that which is false, from that which is true. And that's what the Word of God will do. I want you to know that Paul was urging, no doubt, professing Jews to make sure that they stayed strong. I bless God to this faith that Paul had preached. This Christ that had died, been buried and resurrected. This gift of salvation that had been made available to the whosoever wills of this world. Paul wanted them to say, or wanted them to realize that Judaism was dead, that in Christ the law had been fulfilled, and oh, God had something better for them. Do you know what He wanted them to know? He wanted them to know that the Word of God was able to detect whether their faith was real or not. May I say to you, sir? May I say to you, ma'am? May I even remind myself that it's the same Word today? And thank God, I'm glad for it. And listen to what He said. Hallelujah. He said, for the Word of God is. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Where would I be without this blessed book? How that showed me that I was lost. How that assured me that Christ died in my stead. That promised me that if I would repent of my sin and under the conviction power of the Holy Spirit, who had convinced me that I was a sinner and Jesus came to save, how that He had saved a wretch like me. Oh, thank God for the Word of God that revealed my old sinful self to me, that revealed the plan of God and salvation to me, and that instructed me on what I must do to be saved in light of what Jesus did. Thank God, I'm glad the Word of God is. Now listen, friend. I study, I do word study, I look at lexicons. I mean to tell you, I look in dictionaries, but I never do it. Now you hear them, everybody's listening right now, say amen. I never do it to try to correct. I'm the King James Bible. It doesn't need any correction. Do you know why, friend? Listen, I believe, bless God, that not only inspired, like Peter said and Paul said, I'm going to put two things together. That He inspired holy men of God under the Spirit of God to write the Word of God. Not only was God able to inspire men, but He was able to preserve that which He inspired men to write. I know we don't have the original autographs. But let me tell you what I know we do have. We have the unadulterated, full, complete, final word from God. It not only contains the words of God, it is in itself, in its entirety, the Word of God. And I'm glad to know that today. How blessed God the Word of God is. And you say, what is it, preacher? Well, it's quick. You know what that means? That means it's alive. And let me tell you a couple of things about it. And that means that it's able. It's got the power, and we're going to see that in a minute, to quicken or make alive those things that are dead. Hey, I'm like that fellow that wrote that song, Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Hey, I was dead in trespasses and sin. But one day, hallelujah, I heard the gospel of my salvation. And you know what this Word of God did to me? It quickened me. Man, it made me alive. I'm telling you what's the truth. It put to death my spiritual death and made me alive in Christ. And because He lives, and because He lives forever, and because I'm in Him, I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. It doesn't get any better than that. Do you know that? I mean to tell you, friend, listen, this book is quick. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Man, I can feel the life of this book every time I get in it. I'm telling you, it's nothing. I like the physical life that I have. It's active. I want you to know, bless God, and it's glorious. Can I tell you something kind of funny? Now, I'm just being kind of funny here right now. You know what? I believe this book is so alive that it gets up and walks century in our home. You ever come home on Sunday night, lay your Bible down, get up on Monday morning, can't find it? You said, man, I know, I just put it right there. I laid it right there. You go walking through your house and you find it someplace else. Man, you say, preacher, you're crazy. The Word of God doesn't get up and walk around at night. Hey, listen, friend, I can't prove it does, but hear me well. You can't prove it doesn't. Thank God. I want you to know this book is alive, and it'll make anyone and everyone have to listen to it, heed it, and believe it alive too. How many doesn't stop there? Listen, I could preach, listen, on and on. How about the Word of God goes on? It says that the Word of God is not only quick, but it's also powerful. Hallelujah. You know what that means? That it means it's got energy in it. I mean, the Greek word is energeos. Energeos, I guess it is. And it's that word, that Greek word from which we get our word energy. Do you know what it means? It means something like that it's alive, except that it's active. You see, friend, listen, bless God, I told you it may walk century in our houses at night, those of us that know God. You know what it does? It not only has life, it not only has energy itself, it's not only powerful, but bless God, it energizes us. Hey, I don't know how people say they're called to preach the Word of God, I can start reading, stand in a pulpit, and bless God, just stand there like they're a robot or a mannequin. Oh, listen, friend, and the Word of God begins to stir in this old preacher's heart. Been at it for a little over 44 years now, and the making of this program. And listen, when I began to read it and began to want to present it to the folks that come to the house of the Lord, it's like a steam engine. It's like water in a boiler with fire under it. It begins to burn in my heart, stir in my spirit, and bless God, I can feel its energy. I mean, it activates me. And can I tell you, it's powerful enough to diagnose sin. Isn't that amazing? Bless God. We'll find out how deep it's able to go in relationship to sin. None of it can be hidden. None of it can be squirreled away. I'm telling you, this word is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It energizes because it has energy itself. Hey, it's able to diagnose sin. It sets forth doctrine. In fact, one of the greatest verses of Scripture in the entire Word of God, about the Word of God, is found in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, all Scripture. Now, if you don't have a King James Bible, yours may not read like mine. Yours would be wrong. Mine would be right. You see, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Isn't that amazing? It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I mean to tell you, it'll tell you what's wrong. It'll tell you what's right. It'll tell you how to get what's wrong right. It'll tell you how to keep what you've gotten right when it was wrong right. Hey, friend, listen, it's all we need. Hallelujah. Thank God this book, the Word of God is. It not only sets forth doctrine. It not only diagnoses sin. It disciplines. It directs. And you know what it does? It convinces. It converts. Oh, listen, thank God. And when it's needed, it comforts. Oh, the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Isn't that amazing? It's sharper than any sword. Now listen to what it does. Bless God, it's not like a hatchet. It's not like an axe. It doesn't hack you to death. It just cuts. I mean to tell you, it's decisive. I mean, where there's a problem, it points it out. Where there's sin, it digs it out. Hey, where there's something right, it'll confirm it. Where there's something good, it'll strengthen it. I mean to tell you, friend, listen, it cuts thoroughly. I mean to tell you, it discerns mere professions. It manifests truth from falsehood. It lays bare the human heart of mankind. Thank God for this sword that's this Word that's sharper than any two-edged sword. And let me give you something else on how powerful it is. This just come to mind out of Revelation chapter 19. When Jesus comes back in His revelation, bless God, at the battle of Armageddon, the Word of God is going to be so powerful as it falls out of the mouth of the Word of God Himself that it'll defeat Satan in a moment. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Not only is it sharp, but it's penetrating. I mean, it's piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Now let me tell you, friend, what it does. It penetrates all the way to the heart. Oh, I've got to hurry to just get this last point in. Never get this all preached out. But I mean to tell you, friend, it goes through both soul and spirit. It's not talking about a dividing to separate them, but it's talking about it's able to pierce. It's able to go right down to where the problem is, the issue. And can I tell you, friend, it is in the heart of man that the issues of life come forward. And how wise would we be if we would hide the Word of God in our hearts? You see, out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the heart cometh the issues of life. And you know what we need to do? We need to do what the psalmist said. We need to hide His Word in our heart that we might not have sinned against Him. But let me finish this. And oh, I'm doing this such an injustice. He said, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There it is again. Oh, listen, you know what this idea of discerner is? It has the idea of judging. Oh, we live in a day when people say, you ought not judge. Don't judge me, preacher. Don't judge. Hey, the spiritual man judgeth all things. This Word word. That's why people don't like the King James Bible. It judges. It manifests. It tells on us. It convicts us. It pinpoints things. I mean to tell you, it doesn't pull any punches. And because Jesus loved that rich young ruler that came to Him saying, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Because Jesus loved him so much, you know what He did? He told him the truth. This word, bless God, will tell us the truth. I mean to tell you, it's a judge. I mean, it can be critical and it's capable. Do you hear me? I mean, it's capable because it's got the right to do that. I mean, it strips away the false facade of mankind. It exposes our thoughts, our motives, our attitudes, our intentions. I mean to tell you, friend, listen, no matter how deep they are, no matter how small they are, and as we read it, friend, it reads us. Thank God for the Word of God. I'm glad the Word of God is pure. I'm glad the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. I'm glad the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm glad the Word of God is true from the beginning. I'm glad the Word of God is true. I'm glad the Word of God is a fire. I'm glad the Word of God is a hammer. I'm glad the Word of God is a mirror. I'm glad the Word of God is like water, like a sword, like seed, and like many other things. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Let's let it do its work. Let's let it do its perfect work on me and on you. And let's submit to it. Let's listen to it. Let's learn it. Let's live it. Let's love it. Let's share it. Let's tell others about it. Bless God, let's give it the place of prominence and preeminence God intended for it to have in our life and in the life of everyone that names the name of Jesus. And if you don't know Him, if you don't name Him, if He isn't yours and you aren't His, bless God, it'll be through the preaching of the Word of God that God saves men. Hey, the Word of God is. Hey, I hope you've been blessed. Hope God's been glorified. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.